Yishmoy Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Chaf Yusiyata Dishmoy. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Yevivro.
Amen.
Right, Shlomo Melech Lechocha Mikalodom Mishle Yerches Chaf Mipri Fiish Tispa Bitno. And we saw similar wording earlier, Perek Yud Beis and Pasuk Yud Dalet. Those who have the Mishle, you can flip back to your Beis Yud Dalet where we read Mipri Fiish Yispa Tov. I will go ahead and be sated, will be satisfied with only good. Here it's Tispa Bitno. His stomach will be satisfied. So with the fruit of his mouth, man will be satisfied. Tzvuas sefos of yispa, with the tzvua, the grain, the produce of his lips, he will be satisfied. What are we focusing on? Clearly, koach hadibur. Writes Rabbi Yona, this pasuk therefore serves as the bridge between the preceding one and the succeeding one. We just talked last week about quarrels, about sichsuchim, about midyanim. We spoke about quarrels and fights, points of conflict. We mentioned it in Yerches, Yerches, Medjonim, Yashbis, Hagoral. Again, in Pasuk Yerches, Ach, Nivsha. I mean, Kiryasos and Pasuk Yertes, Umid, Yanim, Kevriya, Harmon. We spoke about quarrels. We spoke about fights, right? Rabbi Yona has a Hemshech of that. We usually speak about how one is Medaber, how one speaks that very often can cause fights. Right, since we just got through speaking about those quarrels, those conflicts, we want you to know that what happens after the fight, meaning speaking wrongly, speaking words of Lashon Hara, Chilas Motishemra, Rachmano Litzlan, what does that do? It causes fights, it causes quarrels and altercations. Now Rabbeinu Yonah says, once you get into a fight, not only does it cause fights, but what's the result of a fight? After you're in a fight with somebody else, that very often itself triggers. Now you're going to speak Lashon Hara. Now you're going to speak Rechilas. Now you might Chas V'Shalom speak Motzei Shemra. Therefore, we want you to know that you will be satisfied with the fruit of your mouth. And at the end of the day, your stomach is going to be filled with the consequences of your actions. In a sense, you will be punished based on the fruit that comes out of your mouth. Your stomach will be satisfied, right, Rabbeinu Yonah? After you got into those fights, if you're going to then speak Lashon Hara, Hurachilas about that individual, you should know that coming out of your mouth, those words that cause harm will ultimately bring satisfaction to your stomach in the sense Hashem will fill up your stomach in accordance with the consequences of that speech that came out of your mouth. So what are we repeating now? Tzvuah sefos of yispa, opting for another choice metaphor, not focusing on the pre-piyish, but now we're talking about the produce that comes out of the lips, and now we're talking about the positive sense. Right, Rabbeinu Yonah? More or less the same idea, but Shlomo, waxing poetic, decides to shift from the pre-piyish to the tzvuah of the sfasayim. First part is focusing on the Suah Meiran. The second part, the latter part of the Pasuk, turning the spotlight rather on the Aseh Tov. You will be satisfied, satisfied in the sense, all of you will be satisfied. When it came to the Chelek Ara, your stomach will be satisfied. And that doesn't put us in a great mood. When we eat too much, our stomach might be satiated, but that doesn't mean that we're, all of us feel satiated. And when it comes to the bad, you should know, your stomach is going to be punished. But tzvuas fasa, the produce that comes out of your lips when it's in a positive sense, yes, but that's going to bring all of you complete satisfaction. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah understands. Based on how you speak, if you're going to go ahead and speak Lashon Hara, what's going to happen? You're going to get punished. And Rabbeinu Yonah cites several psukim from Yirmiyah and Yeshaya, that pre very often is associated with evil. That's how he knows to draw that distinction. Pre-machshevosam, pre-goldolevav, pre often is used in conjunction with onesh. You're going to suffer the peros of your words. That first part of the pasuk therefore focuses on the onus that you will receive if you speak wrongly, Mashiach, and if you speak in a positive vein, that's going to go ahead and bring you full satisfaction, and that's going to be the hakdama to the ensuing verse, which is Mavis V'chaim B'Yaloshen. And now that I just told you that you're going to have to suffer the consequences of your Lashon Hara Chiyas Mocha Shemra, and you will also receive due schar, a fantastic compensation if you speak in a positive fashion. And now we can lead into the ensuing verse of Mavis V'chaim B'Yaloshen at the end of the day, and that's why usually we speak about Chaim V'Mavis. Here again, following that Hagbalat HaLashon, the first part of Pasuk Chaf, focused on speaking wrongly, the latter part in speaking positively, so too you could have Mavis corresponding to the first part of Pasuk Chaf, or Letzad HaTov, you could have Chaim, life could emerge from the way you speak to people, and that'll be the Yaloshin, you could be Mesim Sholom Einodim L'Chavero, you could bring Torah, which is the Eitz Chaim Ilamach Zikimba, you could teach Torah, you could speak words of Sholem, you could be Mezaka, the Rabbim, you could give Tochoch in a positive sense, that's giving life to other people, and or giving life to yourself, or you could bring Mavis to other people, or Mavis Lo Aleinu to oneself. That's Pasuk Chof, therefore, coming on the heels of Psukim Yud Ches and Yud Tes, revolving around conflicts and points of quarreling that could result in speaking badly and harshly about an individual. At the same time, you can speak positively and give yourself or give others life. That's the flow according to Rabbeinu Yonah. The Vilna Gaon understands. We're not speaking about Lashon Hara, Rechila Tzimotzei Shema, that can often come in the heels of quarreling. And rather writes the Vilna Gaon as follows. What's pre-fi-ish? We're talking about ish, and this goes with the Vilna Gaon's commentary back, and Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Gedalet as well. We have three general classifications for men. There's ish, there's Adam, and there's Enosh. Adam is in the middle. Adam can go either way. We have the Arizal, the Zohar Kodesh. Adam is Lashon Adam Lekel. I can make myself comparable to God. Whereas the Maral says, what's Adam? If you think about it, Adam really encompasses therein a tremendous Tzad HaTov, and also something that's not Tzad HaTov. We know Rav Simcha Bunim Peshischa, every human being should carry in his or her pocket two pieces of paper. In the right pocket, a Mishnah Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph that Chayv Adam Lomar B'chol Yom Bishvili Nivra Olam. The whole world's created for me. Look what man can accomplish. You could do unbelievable. You could build worlds. And in the left pocket, you have to have a piece of paper that says Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Hamamish nothing. Ofer Ve'efer. The Maral and others explain and that means having the opposite extreme of no Gaiva, no Kas. I'm offer vapor, I can absorb anything, and I'm worth I'm not worth anything. Can again, Hagaiva and Kas, Avram Avinu says, Anochi offer vapor. So human being has to have both, writes the Maral. Adam really highlights the very Nakuda. Yes, the Kliyoker, the Ksava Kabbalah, Adama is worthless, and therefore it has no value. It leads man to be an Anov. But the Maral says more than that. Dirt, if you think about it, has no worth in this world, because it's ubiquitous. It's ever-present, and therefore dirt intrinsically has no value whatsoever. But mitzad sheni, from another perspective, it has all the value of the world. Because without planting, without plants and trees and vegetation and fruits and vegetables, we wouldn't be able to live. So adama mitzad echad has no value whatsoever. A person says, right, what's in the colloquial, the slang? Person's a piece of dirt, right? What an insult. A person's a piece of dirt. Dirt's not worth anything. Mitzachini, it's an incredible compliment. If anyone should ever say, you're just a piece of dirt, you're building up the entire world, you're a piece of dirt, you plant a tree, and that gives life and sustenance to all of mankind, right? It's the Maral, that's Adam. Adam is Adama. You can opt for one of the two, but in the end of the day, it encompasses both, and that's why it's the Mamutza. It's in the middle. Enosh is ma enosh kisis gareno. The Malachim say, what is man that we should remember and why give the Torah to mankind? The Gemara in Shabbos Peches and Abayis. And that's the lowest description of man. Enosh, he's only an enosh. That's just the basic human form. Turning the spotlight on the Tzad Hagashmi, the Tzad HaFizi. We're not talking about the enormous limitless potential of mankind. It's just an enosh, it's just a human being. And what's the highest level of them all? That's ish. Ish connotes a sense of a gavra. Anoshim, what word connotes tzidkus? Anoshim, Rashi says in the end of Bishalach, Bachar lanu anoshim, in Perek Yitzayim by Mechemes Amalek, Giborim v'yirei chet. Rashi says again, And Parshas Matos, Hechatzim Yitzchem, Anoshim, Letzel Anoshim is Tzadikim, as it says later on as well in Devarim, Perek Aleph, Anoshim Chachom and Nevonim, Anoshim is Tzadikim. Anoshim is Tzidkus. That's Ish. That's a God for the Maral says. Now you could use the Latan Hara as well. Dosin and Aviram were also called Anoshim. Asks the Maral of Gorarye, how could Dosin and Aviram be called Anoshim? They're not Tzadikim. They're anything but. They're the antithesis of what Tzidkus is all about. Explains the Maral, Ish connotes a sense of being a gavra, being in control of something, being on the top. So you can have a tzaddik who's in control of tzidkus, in control of righteousness, or the tzaddik connected is, you can have Dosan Aviram, who were in Stam Rishoim, they were in charge of Rishos. They were the Balei Rishos in the ranks of the Jewish people at the time. Hence, they too could be labeled Anoshim. They were the gavras when it came to wickedness. And that's Ish. And that's all we find. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in Emes LeYaakov. We find Anoshim Tzadikim, writes Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky as follows. What is the plural of Ish? What should be the plural conjugation of Ish? Ishim, even though, truth be told, in a few rare instances in Tanakh, we do indeed encounter the terminology of Ishim, but more often, the most frequent usage, of course, is Anashim. So ask Rabbi Yaakov, why is it Anashim? It shouldn't be Anashim. The plural of an Ish should be Ishim. The Torah wants us to know that when you take a number of Jews, Tzadik, and bring them together, they become an altogether different Metzias. They're not just the compilation, the sum of its parts. It's not just when you make a minion, let's say of 10 men. You have now 10 Ishim. 10 men become a Metzias Acheres Legamri. The power of what happens when Yidin combine is an altogether different reality. It's not Stam, Ish, Ishim, Anashim, it's an altogether different reality. Isha is what? Not Ishot. Isha is Nashim. When you get a group of women together to say Tilim, to say Brochas V'chule, it becomes an altogether different Metzias. It's not Stam, the plural of Isha, which might be Ishot, it's what? It's Nashim, like Anashim. It's an altogether new word, a new entity, a new Metzias. That's the power of what 10 people can accomplish. In fact, how do we know, working with the Maral, how do we know what's the source for a minion of 10 people? V'nigdasti b'silch b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says, l'chol dover shebekedusha, for Kaddish, for Kedusha, for Baruchu, for minion. You need to have 10 men. How do we know that? Where do we see the source?
Abraham and
Sidon. Not Abraham. Ada by what? He bala mitochet, not even by Korach. Earlier, Shlach, by the Meraglim. The Gemara says in Brochus and Megillah, from the very fact that they were called an Ada, Moshe and I were told, this is an Ada, and it says Besoch, and it says Besoch, and it says Besoch, and Nati Besoch, and Esol, the Gemara says, Gezer Shavah. The 10 people, remember, there were 12 spies outside of Yeshua and Kalev. Yeah, 10 spies. That's the source of a minion. And it always bothered me. The source of a Darush of Kedusha requiring a minion is from the Meraglim. From the 10 spies who wrought destruction and got us, disallowed us, Kenisa entry into Israel. That's the source of requiring a minion. What's going on here? The Teretz is what is obvious. Now look at the power of 10 people. God promised the Jewish people, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu echoes that promise repeatedly. Klai Yisrael, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim come back, and Vayas Kalev Asami silences the nation, and Yeshua and Kalev, Gedolei Tzadikim, they also say, don't listen to them. And still, what happens, you can have two Tzadikim, and the two Tzadikim are echoing none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. And with Moshe Rabbeinu, they're echoing none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Yisbar Kaviyochol, who said, Jews, you're going into the land, and still, look at the power when 10 Jews could bond together and they could decide collectively, we're going to challenge Hashem Savtacha, we're going to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to challenge Yeshua and Kalev. 10 members of the Jews decide to get together and challenge Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu and really all of the Jewish people, and they succeeded. Look at the power of 10 people. Even Rishon, why? Because they were Balei Rishus. That's why they got punished so severely. They were Anoshim. It says, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. Anoshim Tzadikim. Like the Maral says, even if you learn that they were Tzadikim Mishas in the beginning, they're still Anoshim, they're Baalei Gavra, they're Baalei Koach. Here they're the heads of Tzidkus, then they became the heads of Rishus, and ten Rishon can band and do what? And challenge none other than Hashem Yisborach, and disallow all of Klai Yisrael them to suffer those severe consequences. I'm not going into it, so look at the power of ten. If ten people could do such bad, Kavachomer, imagine Alachas Kamakamba, what 10 people could do when they bond together for good. Imagine Barovam Hajjus Melech, when you have 100, when you have 1,000, look at the power that you could accomplish.
Anashim also has a Shorash of Enosh, which actually is essentially the same. And Anashim could be Enosh, which could be negative vibe, they could be Anashim.
Excellent, excellent. And the idea being, again, that when you connect together, even if you're holding by Dargis Enos, still look what you can accomplish. 10 people, and no matter what, when you connect, become that Metzias Acheres Legamri. So that's Mipri Pi Ish, writes the Vilna Gaon. Ish is a Gavra. What type of Gavra are we talking about? Someone who? People listen to you. So Mipri Pi Ish Tisbabino, therefore people are going to listen to the Lashon Hara, or the Tzara Tov, they'll listen to the Tochocho, they'll listen to the Shalom, because it's not coming from an Enosh, it's not coming from an Adam, it's coming from an Ish. That's something people are going to listen to. But writes the Vilna Gaon, it's a reference also to Talmud Torah. Mimashim Achadish Betoru Shupri. A pri is that which you create. A pri is a fruit that comes from yesh mayayin, really came out of nothing. All of a sudden the fruit comes, the seed deteriorated, and now the fruit comes. The fruit, those are the peirus, things that a person is machadish in Torah. Tisva bitno, that a person's always going to be sated, always going to be satisfied. You will retain those chidushei Torah. And tzavua svasov, that which a person reviews, yisvahem, you'll always be satisfied by that which you review, that which you make part of you. As a story, and that Rabbi Friend has said over years ago, that when he visited the Rosh Hashiva of Nei Yisrael, Rav Urdeman Zatzal in his last illness in the hospital in Baltimore, so he came into Rav Urdeman on a Tuesday to visit the Rosh Hashiva. And the Rosh Hashiva was crying. So he said, Rosh Hashiva, he says, why are you crying? He said, I'm forgetting my learning. I'm forgetting my learning. A person gets older, a person can forget learning. Sam Sefer says, when people age, a person who gets older, either they will forget things, or their seichel will not be as sharp. It could be that the seichel is not as sharp, but they will retain information that they amassed over the course of a lifetime. Oh, they'll forget information, but the seichel will remain sharp. Sam Sofer said about himself that Pesof Yomav, at the end of his days, he was forgetting a little bit of his learning, but Baruch Hashem, his seichel was still sharp, so he was still able to write Shalos and Tshuvos. His seichel was 100% sharp, but he was forgetting a little bit of his learning. So here to us, Rav Urdeman was forgetting a little bit of his learning. So he was crying that he was forgetting some of his learning. And then in the course of the discussion, he turns to our friend and he says, tell me, what are you learning now in your shir? So he says, we're learning the end of Gemara Pesachim, which discusses the sugya of Ein Kiddush El B'Makim Suda, that when you recite Kiddush on Hashem's morning, you have to have Hamotzi or Bikavei Suda, Amazonas right there, based on Sukkim and Yeshaya, Ein Kiddush El B'Makim Suda. So Rudiman says, so did you speak out these sheetahs of the Rishonim? And he goes through, did you speak out the Ramban and the Rashba and the Baal HaYotaisis? And did you speak out the Rekvegar, did you speak out the Pnei Yeshua? And he spends the next 20 minutes going through all the Rishonim and Achronim in the Sugya. Did you speak it out? And my friend sitting there, astounded, he says, Rosh Hashiva, I don't understand. He says, you just told me 20 minutes ago that you're crying as you're forgetting your learning. He says, you probably haven't learned this in years. And you remember all the sheetahs, all the opinions of all the Rishonim and all the Achronim. And Rudiman says, Chas v'sholem, you think I'm going to forget how the sugya and all the Rishon Machon, I'm crying because I'm forgetting my own learning. But I'm not going to forget the basics. Of course I can't forget Shas, I can't forget the Rishonim and Achronim. I'm forgetting my own Chiddushei Torah, that's why he was crying. But I can't forget all of Shas, and that he couldn't forget. And then he says, they finished the discussion, and on his way out he said, by the way, Rabbi Yisachar, he says, Rabbi friend, tell me, what day of the week is it today? He says, Rosh Hashiva, it's Tuesday. He says, I don't understand. He says, Rosh Hashiva. He says, you're forgetting things that you don't even know what day of the week it is. But the Gemara Rashi Tosas and all the Rishonim, he says, because that to me is life. It doesn't make such a difference to me whether today's Tuesday or Wednesday. But to me, he says, Shas, this is what I breathe. And we don't forget things we love. Why is it you can hear a song 20 years later, you still remember the lyrics. You can walk into the bank on Central Avenue and they're playing a favorite song from when you were a kid growing up 30, 40, 50 years ago. And all of a sudden you're singing along. You better look around, make sure other people aren't listening to you. And sometimes you get carried away in that song. Why? You haven't heard it in 30, 40, 50 years. Because when you listen to that song, you loved it. Things you love, you don't forget. A person can watch a segment from a film and that you saw 30, 40, 50 years ago, and I can play it back for you and you'll remember all the details. Why? Because when you saw that film, the lights were out and you weren't paying attention to anything else. There was nothing in the world going on but what was on that screen. You were so absorbed, so shakua, so fully immersed in that scene. You connected to it. It stays in your brain for years, for decades. Halavai, it's the same thing. Rav Unman, when you learn Gemara, there was nothing else in the world going on at the time. And when you're learning, there's nothing else. The cell phones are off and everything else is out of sight, out of mind. If you're fully immersed in that learning, that's why Gedolim, stories of Gedolim, we'll learn late at night with a candle. Remember, there were no distractions because it used to be back before electricity. There was no action. Life shut down at night. So people were learning at night. What happened? You didn't hear radio and you didn't hear people in the streets. You didn't hear people talking. The Gedolim who sat up at night, they took a candle and there's nothing else in the world going on but that Gemara, that Sefer right in front of the candle. And it was incredibly conducive to becoming very fluent in Kol Torah Kula because the whole world was shut down. That's what the Gemara says in Erevin. Samakim Laman Aleph, the Gemara says, and then Daladam and Aleph, Lo Ivri Lelia Ella Girsa. Night was made, not like the old commercials, the night was made for Michelob. Night was made for learning. Because nights were everybody shut down. There was nothing in society going on. Imagine sitting with a candle and a book. You'll never forget that book. They say, Rav Urdeman, how when they bought the first edition of Rameir Simcha from Divinsk, they had his Or Sameach on the Rambam. He wrote the Meshech Chochma, and he wrote the Meshech Chochma when he was 19 years old. And his father told him, I don't want you publishing it yet. Why? Because I don't want the world to know you, first and foremost, for your Sefer and Chumash. I want the world to know you for your Sefer on the Rambam. So when you publish on the Rambam, he says, then you can go ahead and publish the Meshech Chochma. So he came out with the Or Sameach on the Rambam later, and then subsequently he produced the Meshech Chochma and Chumash. So the Or Sameach came to Slobodka Yeshiva, but all they have is one copy. Remember, this wasn't like you had Beagle Eisen and Central Avenue with all your choices, farm stores, and you could just get many copies of Or Sameach. They had one edition of the Or Sameach, and Runeman was one of the younger Bachram in Slobodka at the time. He got there in his mid-teens, and they had a rotation. And this older Bachar got to use the Or Sameach in the afternoon, and this one in the evening, this one at night. And Rav Urdeman only had the window of opportunity was 3 o'clock in the morning. So he took the Sefer at 3 o'clock in the morning, sometime in the middle of the night. He went outside and he learnt it to the light of the moon until he finished the Sefer cover to cover. Because again, no distractions, and he had a tremendous mind. And he sat there reading the Sefer cover to cover. And that was Rav Urdeman, no distractions. That's the way to learn. And when there's nothing in your mind, that's how we have to learn. That's how we have to daven. There's nothing in your Dalet Amos. And that's how we remember things. That's how we retain information. So, Mipri, Piyish, Tispa, if you work on the Mechanish, words of Torah, and that does last a long time, it doesn't mean it'll stay forever. But Tzvua Sasa, if you work it, meaning what? The Pri came by itself. You don't have to work so hard for it. But the grain, the produce, they review diligently and continuously, and that's going to satisfy you also for a long time. And that's the Vilna Gaon's interpretation. On the heels of that, the Koach HaDibur, the Koach of what we create, and what we could accomplish, what we could achieve with the Koach of our Dibur, continues Shlomo, the very famous Pasuk, Mavis V'chai B'Yalosha. We know the mouth, the pen, is mightier than the sword. And Mavis V'chai B'Yalosha, the tongue can do what? How the tongue can kill people, or the tongue can bring life. We have a famous Gemara Maseches Erechim, talks all about Lashon Hara, the bottom of Tesvav Amud Beis, and the Gemara says, based on how you speak, a person who uses his or her tongue, Kotel Tlisai, you can kill 3 people. You can kill the one about whom you're speaking, the one who receives that information, who listens to you, and of course yourself in the process. You could kill, you have Reuven speaking to Shimon bad about Levi, you can kill 3 people in the process, Mashenki with the sword. What are you doing with the sword? You're killing one person at a time. Here with one word out of your mouth, you could destroy 3 lives in the process. And that's how careful you have to be. And the Gemara goes on to cite this very pasuk in Mishlei, Perikir Ches Pasuk Chavalev. Not only can you kill or bring life to other people, because the same way that one word of Lashon Rechibes can kill three people, one positive word can go ahead and uplift people. One compliment can go ahead and change the world. Everybody likes to hear a good word. Everyone likes to hear a compliment. Famous story of the Satma Rav, Rabbi Yochai Ben Zatzal. And one time he gave a lengthy shiur. And he turned to his gabbai and he says, "Sanu, Yankel, how was the shiur?" He says, Rebbe, it was gevaldik. It was great. Come on, he was the Rebbe. He says, "No, really, Yankel, how was the shiur?" He says, "Rebbe, it was great. All your shiurim are great. Come on, how was it?" He says, "No, really, Yankel, tell me seriously, how was it?" Says, "Rebbe, this woman was really a good one." Says, "Rebbe, why are you so interested?" He says, "Even a Rebbe needs to hear a compliment every once in a while. Even a Rebbe needs to hear a good word. A good word can pick people up, can give them a great day. One positive word, a positive compliment can change a person's life." I said, let's just quickly insert this amazing maisa that I said a couple of months ago, one of the greatest Moshe Feinstein stories, that there were a bunch of teenagers. A bunch of teenagers who were wild guys. And they were having a party late at night, and they decided, let's do prank calls. But not how many prank calls. They were some bums from Yeshiva, and they said, let's call Gedola Yisrael and Rabbanim. So it was 12 o'clock at night, and they started randomly, let's go and call. So they say, okay, Yaakov, you're going to call Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. 12 o'clock at night. Now, Rabbi Moshe was known, would sleep 5 hours a night. He would go to sleep at 11 o'clock, get up 4 in the morning, and he would start by learning 4 o'clock to 7, and then he would go to Shacharis in Yeshiva. So he slept 11 to 4. So this person calls up the Feinstein residence, Rebbetzin Feinstein picks up the phone. It's now after midnight, and he says, I need to speak to Rabbi Feinstein. She says, well, Rabbi Feinstein went to sleep. And I says, no, it's an emergency. I need to speak to him. So he says, okay, I'll wake him up. It's an emergency. Can you imagine this Yeshiva guy? And she wakes up, the Rebbetzin wakes up the Gola Hador, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He comes to the phone, and right away, it only took the Gola Hador about 3 seconds to chop everything that was going on. And Yaakov says, oh, Rabbi Feinstein, I have a question. And he saw already right here that this is all a game. It's part of games. He says, he stops him right away. He says, Yaakov, let me ask you. He says, what's your name? And he's very friendly, so he called Yaakov off guard, and he says, Yaakov. He says, tell me, Yaakov. He says, which yeshiva are you learning at? And he's quite friendly. And he tells him the yeshiva, he says, oh, and what grade are you in? And tells him the grade, in high school, whatever it is, in 10th grade. And he says, and what are you learning? So he says, I'm learning Bava Metzia. So Moshe says, okay, I'll tell you what. He says, go get a Gemara. Let's learn a little bit together. And here Moshe was woken up by a prank phone call, and he chops what was going on. So he says, get a Gemara. Moshe didn't need to get a Gemara, of course. So he says, okay, what daf are you holding by? He says, well, this is the daf that the Rebbe's holding on. He says, okay, Yaakov, you and I, we're going to learn the piece of Gemara together. And he says, you read. And he reads the Gemara. Moshe says, oh, you have to interpret this. And Moshe starts teaching him the Gemara very well. And he goes over the second time or third time. He says, Yaakov, do you really have the Gemara? He says, okay, now I have the Gemara. He says, now let's learn Rashi. And Moshe, now it's already 12:30 in the morning. Now let's learn Rashi. And he learns Rashi with the boy. And he makes the guy go over it 3-4 times until he has it clear, absolutely clear. He says, now we're going to learn the Tosfos. And now he says, Yaakov, read the Tosfos. He says, I don't know how to read Tosfos. I'm going to read it for you. And Moshe by heart reads word for word the Tosfos on the page. And then Moshe says, do you understand it? No, I don't understand. He says, let's go over it again. Do you understand it now? No, I don't. Let's go over it again. Nachamol, 4 or 5 times. Now it's already past 1 o'clock in the morning. The Gomel Dor was woken up. He's already on the phone for about an hour. He went through the Gemara, went through the Rashi, went through the Tosus. And he goes over and he says, Yaakov, do you have it? Klar, you have it? Yes. Yes, Rabbi Feinstein, I have it. He says, now Yaakov, I'm going to give you a bomb kasha. I'm going to give you a great question of mine. There aren't really any answers in the Rishonim to this question. I'm going to give you a bomb question of mine on the Tosfos, and I want you to go to your Rebbe tomorrow in Shir when he does the Gemara, and I want you to ask this question. See, make sure that he has the Tosfos, and then he tells him the bomb kasha. He says, Yaakov, now repeat to me the kasha. I want to make sure you got it. You're really chap, you really understand. He says, yeah, that's a good kasha. And he says it over again. It's a Moshe Feinstein's kasha. So it's not in any of the Rishonim. He's going to stump the Rebbe right now. So, Rav Moshe stays on the phone. It's already after 1 o'clock in the morning. And he's got the kasha down pat. Goes into shir. He's all excited. He goes into shir. And the Rebbe says, okay, let's chazer over the Gemara today, Rashi. Now we're up to the Tosfos. They do the Tosfos. So Yaakov raises his hand. And the Rebbe knows Yaakov never pays attention. He doesn't really know what's going on in the Gemara. He's this wild guy. He's not really into it. And he says, well, Yaakov, what do you want? He says, Rabbi, you have a kasha in the Tosos. Says, okay, ask the kasha in the Tosos. And he repeats verbatim, Rav Moshe Feinstein's bankas, and the Rebbe falls out of his chair. And doesn't know what to do. He says, Yaakov, where in the world? Unbelievable kasha. He says, I prepared, I went through all the Rishonim. And nobody has such a kasha. He says, where in the world did you get it? He says, what do you mean? I got it in my chavrusa with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now all the kids fell out of their chairs. I couldn't believe it. He says, yeah, I had a chavrusa with Rav Moshe Feinstein. What a bankas. He says, Yaakov, unbelievable. And that day on, he was now the top of the shiur. He had a chavrusa with Moshe Feinstein, asked about kasha, and that day transformed him, and he went on to become a ben Tyro. And Ephraim Shapiro told me the story. He says, the person wants to remain anonymous, but this wild guy now is a Rebbe in a yeshiva in high school and in the tri-state area. And is a Talmud Chacham today, all because of what? Because of Moshe Feinstein chat and gave him that time. One phone call changed his entire life. That's a Moshe Feinstein. One word, Mavis V'chaim B'Yaloshen. He could have criticized him, and that would have been it. At the end of the day, he built up the boy, and he gave him life, Eitzchaim L'Machazikim Ba, and it changed his entire life. And you could decide to criticize, you could decide to build the person up. Mavis V'chaim B'Yaloshen, it's all in the power of the tongue. The Ovel, those who love to use it, those who love to use it will eat its fruits. Now there is a Medrash in Vayikra that says this is going on actual food that we're talking about. If you eat Dvorim Asurim, things that didn't have Trumas HaMaisus, it can bring you Misa. But if you take off Trumas HaMaisus, it can bring you Chayim. But come on, all the Mefarshim learned, not like the Medrash is the reference to, as we said, the power of speech, the power of the tongue. Those who love to use it, writes the Rabban, those who love to use it, you will eat its fruits. Meaning if you love to use it for good, you'll eat good fruits. And if you love to use it for bad, you will also suffer the due consequences. That's all in accordance with how you decide to use the lashon and how you decide to use the power of the tongue. And life and death, it's powerful, more powerful than the sword. And by those who love it, writes the Vilna Gaon Yochel Pirya, if you love the Torah, if you love speaking words of Torah, again, similar to how we understood the previous pasuk, you will eat the benefits, and Hashem will give you the power to be machanish chirush Torah, etc. And that is the power of the tongue. Yes.
Rabbi, with reference to speaking, there was once I was with my oldest granddaughter,
yes.
And she's a mother of five now, Kananahara. She, I was telling her about a wonderful, wonderful family, mm-hmm. And she said to me, "Mama, please let's not talk about people." So I said, "But Pitti, I'm saying good things." She says, "But sometimes there's always a but." In other words, you'll say something nice, and then you'll say, "But so and so." So don't talk about people.
So that's why the Chavetz
Chaim,
excellent. So the Chavetz Chaim writes that halacha and Sefer Chavetz Chaim. He says you're certainly allowed to speak good about people. You're not allowed to speak a lot good about people. You're not allowed to be marach. If you're marach yosemidai, then what happens very often? Somebody who's listening says, you think they're so good? I know something bad. Don't go on and on. So Chavetz Chaim says you're allowed to compliment, you're allowed to say good things, but you're not allowed to be marach. If you say too much or if you exaggerate, you're inviting people to go in and say the buts. And that's why you're right. You have to be very careful that a person is going to be incredibly meticulous with one's words, that you're not going to go ahead and qualify it. That one but can ruin all those complimentary words. That's why you have to be so careful. That's Mavis V'chaim, and that's the Gemara citing this very posuk, saying how it could be worse than Avodah Zarah Gila Reis and Shvichas Domim, because you're killing three people in one shot. But if you love that power of speech, Yochel Pirya, the Chavetz Chaim, people think, and that, he never spoke Lashon Hara in his life, which that's why all his brachas were Mekuyim. The sons, the family of the Chavetz Chaim say every bracha that he ever gave to people was 100% fulfilled. Why? Because he's so refined, the power of the tongue. They say about the Chavetz Chaim and the Vilna Gaon, everything they ever said came true. That's why the Chavetz Chaim, many stories abound about the koach of the bracha, because it was such a pure, pristine tongue that was never stained are tarnished in any way by any Lashon Rachilos. So people think, he never spoke. He was on a Tainus Dibur. Chavetz Chaim was verbose. He used to speak a lot. Speak a lot, but what? He just never spoke about people. Anytime people broke up, he says, let's not speak about people. That's it.
Is it true that even if you say something nice, even if you say something true, that it's still
Lashon Hara? 100%. That's one of the first halachas in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim. Even if it's 100% true. Not just if it's 100% true. So many people know, even if it's true, that is Lashon Hara. If it's false, it's Motzei Shabbos.
You see it or whatever.
Not only that, let's say you witness a Maisa Aveira. Let's say you see someone you know and you're there with a friend having lunch and you see outside the window of the restaurant someone doing an Aveira. You're not allowed to even discuss it with one another. Even to say, even though you just saw it. You can't say, oh, look, oh, what do you think of that? Can you believe what that woman just did? That itself was Lashon Hara, but you both just saw it. So you saw it, you keep it to yourself.
Thing is never to talk about people.
That's right, that's right. The Chofetz Chaim, when he talks about something that's well known, that's a different heter, and even then there are qualifications. Even when something is well known, there has to be a toelus why you're sharing that information. Toelus means there's a positive goal, a positive reason why you're sharing that information. It can't just stop be to be malshin, even if it's something that's mefursim that people know about that they read in the news. There has to be a specific toelus and a taklus, Mr. Yemis, why you're sharing that information. Okay, yes. That's the Medrash in Vayikarabba. The Medrash in Vayikarabba and Parshalam and Gimel and Os Aleph understands it's not just going on Koach HaDibur, on Koach of speech. It's actually going on what we put in our mouth and what goes out of our mouth. That Mavis and Chai, you could eat Dvar Masurit. Not just something that didn't have Tumas Amisus, eating stolen food. Eating stolen food, something that didn't have Tumas Amisus. Something that you weren't allowed to eat, whether it's Bikurim, whether it's Truma. Anything the Medrash says, they're not allowed to eat. Mavis v'chaim yaloshen. It's all in the tongue. What you decide to bring into your mouth and what you decide to bring out. That's why you think about it. How do we start the year? We start every year Rosh Hashanah. When do we put more of an emphasis on what we eat and what we don't eat than in any other time of the year? At the beginning of the year, why? It's Hayom Haras Olam, because it's Kila. We're starting all over again. It's the day of Adam Arishon's creation. God gave Adam and Chava one single test. What was their one test? I want you to eat this. And I don't want you to eat that. Braces, prayer, base, pasuk, tazayin. Mikol etzagan, achel, tochel is a separate command, right? So, Bein Abachai, and the Radak, and the Meshach Chachma. I want you to go into my garden of paradise, and I want you to actively enjoy all the bananas, and all the coconuts, and all the mangoes, and you get a mitzvah for it. I want you to go and eat all the good things, and following pasuk yitzayin, me'itz, adas, tavro, lo, sochamedo, one tree is off limits. That means what? Their whole entire ruchnius was revolving on the hinge of, I want you to eat this, and I don't want you to eat that. That's how important, because we say, and now we're slaying, what do we say? You are what you eat. And there's so much truth to that. That's why Yiddishkeit, we put such an emphasis on what we eat, on how we are Mekayim Onik Shabbos, Simchas Yontif, and how we celebrate a Suda's Mitzvah, and when we have Fleishiks, and when we have a great Suda. And at the end of the day, we put so much emphasis. Why? Because as opposed to the nations of the world, explains of Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emesli Yaakov, by them it's two separate things. When you're eating, that's not a God-like thing. When you go to church, Lahavdil, that's it. There's no food in church. You're praying. You're doing your thing. And then outside, separate is eating. And that's why you have ascetics and those who live on those types of lifestyles, they go do fasting. We believe there's a time and a place to fast. But otherwise, how are we Mekayim the Tachlis Abriyah? We go into the world, we eat, we just eat the right things in the right times and the right measures. But think about all our Yom Tovim. Simchas Yantav, Achilas Basar, Shtiyas Yayin, Onek Shabbos, Dogim, Dog Shomein, Basar, we take the world of Gashmi and we elevate the world of Gashmi. Sefer Tani writes in Perek Zayin, the Baal HaTanya, by making brochas on fruits. How do we elevate the animal kingdom? Our job is to elevate every aspect of the Bria by making brochas and eating fish and animals. We're thereby elevating all those other species as well. So to a large extent, you are what you eat. That was the first test given to Adam and Chava, and the Medrash understands that's Mavis V'chai Miyalosh, and all comes down to the tongue. What you eat, what you bring into your mouth, what you keep outside your mouth. That's why, how do we start the year? Simonim, look at the significance we're giving to all those things adorning, all the culinary delights adorning our Rosh Hashanah table. A dip in apple and honey, you should have a Shana Tovah Masuka. Attach symbolism to it. Make it real. The Maral Miprag explains in the Sefer Baragola. Why can't we just say it? Why can't we just go around the table and say it to everybody? Wish one another a Shana Tovah Masuka. Why? Because it makes it much more real when you attach the bracha to something tangible, to something palpable. Attach it to it now when you taste it, when you eat it, now that bracha comes into you. That's why Rabbi Fol Levin and the son of Rabbi Levin, whenever he used to give brachas, he used to give you a half a shekel. Why? Because I want the bracha to be chal and a chefetz. I want it to attach, the spiritual bracha should attach to a devar gashmi, and now keep in your wallet. Why do people hold on for decades to $1 bills they got from the Bavitcher Rebbe? Why do they hold on to coins that they got from this Hasidic Rebbe? Because now the bracha attached itself, now it has a koach, attach itself to something, what a person is going to do with it. And that's Mavis V'chaim B'Yaloshen, so it does include as well, according to the Medrash, and that which we eat and that which we keep out of our system. Yes?
I just wanted to ask a question. How do we equate, maybe a different, not speaking Lashon Hara and not speaking about people when somebody calls you about a shatrim.
Okay, so this is a whole long, that's a whole longer discussion about the general attitude in 30 seconds or less. The general mahalach is never go ahead and just stop generalize. Why? Because everyone has different definitions. A person who says, tell me about the person. So what are you going to do? You start describing the person. You don't know exactly what they want to hear about the person. Let's say they say, is this person learned? Somebody thinks someone who knows Shas is well learned. Someone thinks, oh, as long as he knows Mishnah, he's well learned. Oh, as long as he knows Chumash, as long as he went to a day school. All depends who's asking the question, what information they want to know. So much of the information is subjective and non-objective. And therefore, right, therefore the post can say, the Mahalach is, don't just stop. You could give one sentence of a general, oh, it's yes, very nice person. But the basic guideline is, say, you ask me questions, specific questions. And I will go ahead and do my best to try and answer truthfully specific questions. Let them be clear about what information they really want to know. Not just, I want to get everything that's out there in the world about the person. And also, if they, is the person nice looking? Well, what do you mean by nice looking? Tell me. Get them to be as specific as they can be, and then you have to answer specific questions. But let them be as clear as possible what they want to know, and you have to then gauge, is this something that's little ellis or not? Meaning, is this something they need to know? If they ask, well, how rich are the people? Well, that's none of their business. If they ask, well, are they capable of supporting for... That's a different question. So they have to be specific, as specific as possible, and then you do your best to answer specific questions. Anything that is litwalis and say, well, what's the reason you want to know this? As long as that's put out clearly, then you have to do your best to answer truthfully. But again, that's part of a whole larger discussion, but it does lead us right into the next pasuk. Because the next pasuk in pasuk chabez, mamish, you predicted it right here. Motzi isha matzah tov goes right into shiduchim. But what are we talking about? If you find a good wife, you find good. Everything is going to be good then in life. Matzisha matzatov. Why writes the Mitzvah David? Kihi ozrasu biyamola, because a good wife will help you with all of your work, with all of your efforts. Vayofek rotzem Hashem, and you will bring forth favor and chayin from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? Ki matzilosim and achayin, writes the Mitzvah David, as the Gemara explains in Yevamos Am Gimel Amud Aleph, because the woman who goes around the husband seven times and erects that choma is going to act as a shmira, is going to protect her husband from chayin. However, it's not just going and finding a good wife. The Vilna Gaon and so many others say it's also a metaphor. Writes the Grah, what does it mean, Matzisha Matzatov? Maisim Tovim. A Maisim Tovim we're talking about. Another interpretation, Matzisha is Midos, Midos Tovos. Another interpretation is the Torah. We're talking about the many Rishonim even understand. Tov is the Torah, Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lachem. And the Torah metaphorically is referred to throughout Chazal as an Isha. Amela, if you find the Torah, that's the source of all good in the world. And that goes with what the Vilna Gaon told us. We're talking about learning Torah, being Machanish Chirushi Torah. Or we're talking about Mitzvah Simasim Tovim. Or Pashup Shat, as the Gemara uses in a Brocha, Stav Chesem Nalev. If you find a good wife, you will find good. A good marriage. In fact, somebody just yesterday sent me a clip from TED Talks. There are these TED Talks. Yes. So there's a recent clip, a 12-minute clip from a researcher in Harvard, the world's longest study on this topic. They had over 700 people back in Harvard, and this goes back over 75 years ago. A study that followed individuals, again, many of the people passed away, but there's still a handful of them now in their 90s, and they followed this group of people, some Harvard students at the time, and they took inner city youths from Boston also. So it was an interesting mix. And they went and asked them questions every year for 75 years. And then they brought in the family members. Tell us what makes you happy. And he started the discussion. You can go do a search on TED Talks. And I watched this 12-minute clip. And he shows, oh, what do we think makes you happy? So they asked them at the beginning, oh, it's fame and fortune and it's money. And they asked them to fill out a questionnaire when they started the study over 75 years ago. And of course, people said, if I have money and fortune and a great job, that's going to bring me satisfaction. They followed them over the years. And every year they would interview them, not just on a questionnaire. They would find them, they would interview them in their house, say, are you happy? What are you happy about? What are you sad about? He said, and after 75 years, so what do you think is the number one ingredient in people's happiness? Was it fame? It wasn't fame. Was it fortune? It wasn't fortune. Believe it or not, health was there close to the top. That wasn't number one. And number one, good relationships. The number one, Sat HaShavah. Good relationships, relationships of, relating to people of the same race, religion, family, relationships with spouse, relationships with children, relationships with the social network. And they said it could be someone who's in a marriage, wasn't a good marriage. It all comes down to what? People are in good relationships. If you have a social network, a social framework, people very often they did better in life. They were happier in life. They lived longer lives. It had the greatest effect on their emotional state. On what types of relationships? Did they have friends? It doesn't mean necessarily a lot of friends. It means good friends, shoulders to lean on, a good family relationships, good social network of good friends, of a community, of a sense of belonging, to a shul, to a community, relationships within a context, a social network, a social framework. That was number one ingredient to mental and physical health. And that was the biggest common denominator of people living lengthy lives. Relationships. So, of course, it starts, Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov, Ve'yavig Rotzem Hashem, and you'll bring it out. But again, as we said, and Rashi makes a reference to Torah, Matzah Torah, Kimashmo Isha Tova, and then, if you find the Torah, all of it's going to be good, and that's based on the Gemara Yevamos, Samachim Lamed Beis, that says, this pasuk, in fact, is a reference to Torah, because in the end of the day, that's the source of all good. Whatever situation a person is in life, if you're connected to the Torah, it's all going to be good. That's why Yitzhak Voloshin writes in the Pek Kodosh, Noach was criticized right after the Mabel. He cuts off the ark, and what's the first thing he does? Vayacha Noach Isha Adama, Vayita Karmen. He plants a vineyard. And Rashi brings the Medrash Rabbah, Hayalolun Toa Netiya Chers. He should have planted something else. What does it mean, something else? Wine is for you. First, care about society. Plant tomatoes. Plant potatoes. Plant something that society can build from. Society doesn't need wine to function. Some people might disagree with that. But at the end of the day, that's not what society needs. Society needs fruits, vegetables. That's what he should have planted. That's the pashtus of Chazal. Right? So you know what the criticism was? What do you do? The world was just destroyed. The first thing he should have done is run to learn Torah. Same way we spoke on Shabbos morning. Where did Avram Avinu send Yitzchak right after Akedas Yitzchak? He sent him to learn in the Beis Medrash Hashem and Abra for 3 years. Right after such a traumatic experience, go to the Beis Medrash, connect to God, connect to his Torah. Right after the Mabul, what do? You get out of the Mabul, go and learn Torah. Connect to God. Then go on and work on building society. Writes Rav Pinchas Scheinberg, Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, in the Sefer Derech Emunah Bitachon, he says that, you know what the criticism was? Criticism wasn't that he drank wine. At the end of the day, we know why he drank wine. Imagine the state of bereavement. He lost now every acquaintance, every friend, everybody outside of his small little 9-member family. He lost all society. You're going to be depressed. What does a depressed person do? He was a Mari Nafesh. Of course you give him wine. The question is, now what? He says, before you start thinking about your own emotional state, take care of building the world. That was a criticism. Of course there's a time and place, but first build up the world. And if you are going to take care of building up the world is built on Torah, go out and learn Torah, or at least start planting for the world, but don't put yourself first. But Matz Isha, if you put relationships with other people, you put that first, that's how you bring out Ratzon from Hashem. That is the idea of finding good. But Rav Sal Jagon adds a very important point, and I think according to Rav Sal Jagon, that's why this is the pasuk to put right here in this context. Why are we talking about the pashtus as the Rishon will learn? You find a good spouse, you found all good. In the end of the day, a good spouse, a good relationship, you will always have good, you'll always have someone to turn to. What's this idea of Matzah Isha, writes Rav Sal Jagon? This is Hakaras HaTov. Why? Because what's the first criticism issued against Adam? What was the first rebuke, the harsh rebuke that Hashem directed towards Adam and Chava, towards Adam really, after the sin of eating from Achilas Desad? Remember, he just now violated, transgressed God's prohibition. He just brought Misa and all sense of dystrophy and deterioration to the world. And what's the first criticism? Rashi brings the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Tafayim the base. Adam Arishan says, what do you want from me, God? Aisha Shinasoti Modi. It's all the woman. She messed me up. I didn't do anything wrong. The woman messed me up. Right? That's why husbands, and they're always taking revenge, right? We always mention the husband and the wife, they're sitting there by the chasana smorgasbord. And the husband loves the carving station. He goes back for the pastrami. And he brings back the pickles and the mustard. And he goes back a second time to get some more brisket and some turkey. And then he goes back for some tongue and some corned beef. And he's going on his fourth trip. And the wife looks at the husband and says, honey, aren't you embarrassed already? 4 trips to the carving station? He says, what do you mean? I tell him it's all for you. And I tell him, it's all for you. Right? What happened? That's what happened, right? The first Rosh Hashiva who went back to the carving station for the second time. And the Rebbe said, Rosh Hashiva, one visit to the carving station is enough. You don't need to go back a second time. He says, that's it. From now on, separate seating at weddings. Separate seating at weddings, that's it. In the end of the day, that's all battle. Man says, he gave me an Azer Kenendo. She messed me up. God says, what are you, a Kofi Tova? She didn't mess you up. If a person has other Rebbe Shalom, gives you a commandment, you have to listen. And at the end of the day, all of them stop giving excuses. What it seems is a kafei tov. The worst thing that you can be in this world is a kafei tov, is not to express gratitude. You know who can marry into the Jewish people? Lo yavo amon. Amoni ma'avi, bekal Hashem. You know why? Because lo kinu eschem alachamayim. So they didn't give you bread when you passed through. Why? Because they were makar tov. Avram Avinu saved Lo. And Lo was saved only b'schus Avram Avinu. And now his descendants, Amon Amoav, you're not going to go ahead and be makar tov. You have no part in Klai Yisrael. Writes the Ksav Sofer in his Drosh of the Shams HaGol, Doshnas, Tofrei Shres, the same way that every Jew is defined by three cardinal traits. Yavama 79a, Rachmanim, Baishonim, Gomle Chasadim. Right up there is a Karsa Tov, and that's the foundation of them all. If you're not the Makir Tov, you're not really a Jew. You're not really a Jew. If you're a Kofei Tov, that's going against the Tachas Abriya. The first and the harshest criticism issued against Adam is, you're a Kofei Tov. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews complain about the Mon, back to Avodah Zarah, and that's why it's in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Moshe says, you're complaining about the Mon, Hashem is giving you food, you don't have to go to the bathroom. And think about it, you know, you're getting miraculous food, Lechem Hashem Alachi Yashar Ochlmo, come on, Yuma 75b, I'm giving you miraculous food, and what do? You complain about the Mon. That you want to have actual basar, your kfuye tova, mnei kfuye tova, just like Adam and Chava were given every single food in the world. What do you need the Eitz Hadas for? You don't even need the Eitz Hadas. What was the fruit on the Eitz Hadas? Three remachlokes in Gemara Brachos Daf Mem, Sanhedrin Daf Ayin, whether it was a gef and a ta'ina, or a chita, or a sheet and medrash, embrace the Shabbat to Zayin Lamed, it was an esrog. You had esrog trees, and you had chita, and you had gef, and you had ta'ina. You didn't need to eat from this. Every single thing in the world that's usher, there's something that's mutter. Fascinating Gemara, Chulin, Kaptesim, and Beis. Everything that God made forbidden in the world, there's something that's kosher. Let's say you want to eat pig. Let's say you have a tiger for bacon. You want a tiger for bacon? There's a sharvita fish in the world that tastes just like ham. Tastes just like bacon. If you really have a tiger, there's a fish in the world that has the taste. Let's say you want a cheeseburger. You want to taste basar v'chalav. There is a cow udder that's mutter to eat. You can eat the udder of a cow, which has the taste of milk mixed with the meat. There's a parallel taste in the world. God says, everything that's forbidden, there's something that's mutter. What are you going to that tree for? That's a kafei tov, isher shenasot imadi. And it makes sense. Why? Because why was Adam created in the first place? Let's go back to the beginning of the creation of Adam. Perek Beis and Bereishis Pasuk Hei. So what does the Pasuk say? That you know why I'm creating man? Because I have all this plant and vegetation ready to go. It's by the surface of the dirt and it's ready to sprout, to burst and to blossom. But nothing's going to happen until what? Adam, Ayin, Lavanis, Adama. Because there's no man. Rashi brings the Gemara, Chulin, Daf, Samach, Chabad Beis. Because I need a human being who has Das, who has Bechira, what? To be makir b'tovason shel geshomen. That means.
What do the animals eat?
Plants and vegetation.
But it didn't grow yet.
It didn't grow yet. So God gave them whatever sustenance they needed. Oh, you mean those first days? Those first days, God gave them whatever sustenance. Just like we didn't need to eat animals. Everybody was vegetarian. That's what Cook writes.
But I'm saying, what did they eat?
What did they eat? They had God.
There were no plants
yet. That's right, so God sustained them. Maybe they were eating fish. Maybe God bought them fish. They didn't have plants and vegetation. God gave them what they needed. God provided what they needed. Then he could have given them in the water. He could have given them all the nutrients that they needed. God sustained them, everything that they needed.
So since the garden was already filled with all the different fruit.
No, it wasn't filled yet. Rashi says, based on Chazal, everything was at the surface. God created the potential for all the plants and trees, but they didn't grow yet and produce the fruit until Adam would daven for rain, only once it rained, and that would cause the trees and the bushes and all the plants and vegetables to grow.
So Hashem gave him this inspiration to daven for rain.
Exactly, and that's the Tachlis Abriya. That's what Rashi says based on Chazal. I need someone who's a Baba Chira who could daven to Hashem and be makir b'tosin. Why? All the physicality in the world in Hebrew is called what? Gashmiut. Why? Because it all comes from the Geshem. Everything in the world is connected to Geshem. That's why it's a chazak of shleima. 7 is the number of shleima. 7 times 7 is 49. 49 times 7 is 343, the gematria of Geshem. Geshem 343 is 7 times 7 times 7, a chazak of 7s. That's the whole world. The whole world. If you don't have Geshem, you don't have anything. All the world came from Geshem. Who do I ask to daven for? An Adam. That means the tachlis of Bria was to be a makir tov. Without a curse of tov, you don't have anything. If a person eats without making a bracha, the Sfasemis writes in Brachas Daf Lamed Hey Amin Aleph, the Gemara says that you're stealing from God. Lashem Artzul, everything belongs to God. If you eat something in the world and you don't make a bracha, you're stealing from Hashem, and therefore you have to make a bracha. Writes the Sfasemis, why is that stealing from Hashem? Why if I use it? Because if you're going to go ahead and take something that God gave you, that He caused the trees and the bushes and the fruits to grow, and you're not going to say a bracha to thank Him for it, then you're stealing from God and you're not a makir tov. You're being a kafay tov, because a curse of tov means you're going to daven for the rain and recognize that all the food comes from God. If you truly recognize all the food comes from God, you're going to ask Him permission and make a bracha before you recite it. Another clip somebody just sent me this morning as something that I spoke in a drasha over a year ago, that there was a Baal Tshuva who invited over his secular friends to come and join him at his apartment for a little get-together, his secular friends from the army, and they got together, and this is friends, it was a little while after the Yom Kippur War, and he brought out watermelon to serve his guests. He put watermelon at the table. So he says to them, okay, everybody, what bracha do you make on the watermelon? So this one says, Bobri Pri Ha'etz, because it's a fruit. And this one said, no, it's Adama, because it's not really a fruit. It really comes out of the ground. It's from a bush. And it gets Zerushim from the ants. It's really Bobri Pri Adama, which is, of course, is the right answer. And another person there says, no, it's Shakoni Ebedvara. And they go fighting at Shakoni Ebedvara on the watermelon. So finally, so he can understand that Sa'at to say Bobri Pri Ha'etz. He can understand, of course, Adama, that's the right answer. But he says to his friend, everyone's there, Shahakol, why would you think the bracha on a watermelon, on an avatiach, is a shakol ne'ebedvaro? He says, I'll tell you why. He says, because I was in the Yom Kippur War. He says, and in my tank, we were surrounded by Egyptian tanks on all sides. And my commander of the tank, we had 4 or 5 of us inside the tank, and my commander said, we're surrounded, what are we going to do? Does anyone know any tefillah from any of the Haredim? Tell me a tefillah. Does anyone know a tefillah? And nobody knew any tefillah. These were secular Israeli soldiers. Nobody knew a single tefillah. Finally, he says, I remembered one. I remember when I would visit my grandfather, and he would always insist that I have a cup of water when I come to visit him, and he wouldn't let me drink the cup of water until I said a blessing. Shakoni Ebedvaro. So that's what I know. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shakoni Ebedvaro. He says, okay, everybody, together. He says, aim at that Egyptian tank, but first we're going to recite the tefillah together. Hello, what do they shoot? Not a bullet. What do you put in the tank? Not a missile. In the cannon, but loaded with what, the ammunition. Put the ammunition into the cannon. He says, now together, in these secular Israelis, said, with all the kavod they can muster, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shakoni Ebedvaro. Aim, and they hit it, blow up that tank. He says, turn to the next one. Once again, Baruch Atah Hashem, okay, Baruch Levatol Hashem, Hashem Levatol, Alamai, Shakoni Ebedvaro, and they got, and they killed all the tanks. He says, I don't know the right Baruch on the watermelon, but I can tell you, Shakoni Ebedvaro definitely is going to work. If we can blow up Egyptian tanks, it'll definitely work to allow us to eat the watermelon. And the other day, well, that sums it all up. Shakoni Ebedvar, because they recognize everything comes from God. And that's the bracha that they recognize. And the end of the day, everything comes from God. Shakoni Ebedvar, that's what it can accomplish. So Monte Isha, what to do? It's about a curse of Tov, right? So Sal Jagon, if you find an Isha and you recognize she's an Ezer Kenegdo, then you find Tov. That's the Tikkun. For what? Why was Isha created? Bracious, Paragbase, Posigit Ches. Lo Tov, hey, Yosadim Levado. So right? So Sal Jagon, Lo Tov. If you find the Ezer Kenegdo, now Monte Isha, Monte Tov. But yet the Gemara and Brochus have Chesaran Sex and all the Posig, Monte Isha, Marmi Moves. If you're Zeiche, it's the best thing in the world. And if you're not, it could be even worse than Misa. At the end of the day, that's our relationships. A good relationship can give you mental and emotional and physical health. A bad one could go and bring you down. And that's why this pasuk heads the Shtar Tanom that's read at every Chosin's Tish by a Chasana. That's the bracha that we give. And that if you want to bring out the Rotzen and the favor from Hashem, have that Isha, that's a Karasatov, and that's a Sajigal. Let's quickly finish up the parak. Tachnuni midaba rosh rasha yana azos. Again, we're in the context of speech, of the uniqueness of Koach Hadibor. or Tachnu Yedabrash, what is the pauper? What is the poor person? The lowly person? What does he speak? Supplications. He's always asking for money, right? It's the Piasetzka Rebbe and Tzavaziras. All day long he's speaking to God because he's got to ask God for breakfast. And when he's finished his breakfast, God, let me find lunch today. He finishes lunch, let me find dinner. And he's always knocking on doors. Please, the usher, but what does the rich person do? Very often the rich person answers with words of azus in the sense of audacity and brazen words. And the idea, writes him, Tzudas David, is not to be like that. He says, oh, don't go to me, go out and get a job. And at the end of the day, you have to help him. That's the famous Kutzker Rebbe. Kutzker Rebbe says, and there's a story they say about the Baal Shem Tov, every need in the world can be used for good or used for bad. Every trait in the world has a tzana tov and a tzana ra. So they asked the Baal Shem Tov, yeah, what about the trait of apikorsis? When is it good to be a heretic? When is it good to be an apikorsis? Every time a poor person comes to your door. Because what does an erlecha you do? A baal emunah b'tochen, someone comes and knocks on your door and says, I have no food, I have no money. Say, you know what? Let's say Tehillim together. Come inside, let's have emunah b'tochen, tzadik v'nasi yichah. Let's take out a Tehillim, a Siddur. Let's daven, let's say Parshas Haman together. Let's say Sabrochas, and yeah, Hashem will take care of you. And that's when you have to be an apikores, explained the Baal Shem Tov. That's when you use me to say, pretend there's no God. A person comes to your door and they need, give them the piece of chicken. I give them the wine, give them something to eat, give them something to drink. When I paid a shiva visit by Ramosha Brown last week, unfortunately, Moshe Brown lost his mother. And they asked the mother, well, what schus did she have that all her descendants were all Shomer Shabbos and so many Tamid Chacham? And he says, they asked the mother, she says, what do you mean, I just try and be a good Jew? He says, Torah was simple. He says, he remembers growing up in the house, if poor people came by or Mashal came by to the house, she wouldn't tell him, oh, here's a quarter, here's a dollar. Said, did you eat lunch today? Come into my house. And she'd make him the same lunch that she'd serve her own family. And the same table with the same... To her, that was a given. He says, so when you asked her, what was she special? Because that was a given. Somebody needs food, you're going to give them food. And that's when it's good to meet up. Because so the poor person is always asking, Tachunim is always speaking and beseeching. And the usher has to be very careful. It's a big nisayon. As the wealthy person, how are you going to speak back? How are you going to answer to the ani? And the other day, any poor person will tell you, and I got to tell you, because I have a lot of mishalachim coming into my office, it's not as much about the size of the check and how much money you gave them. It's about the Kabbalah's punin. Did you greet them with dignity and respect? Did you bring them in like a human being, like a mensch, that they didn't feel bad? It's not about how much you give them. It's about the way you spoke to them and the smile and the Kabbalah's punin, the Seva punin, Yafas, and Besimcha. That matters so much more. And that's why the focus is what? Not how much the usher gives. That's not the point. That's how the usher speaks back to the ani. Somebody sent me a quote a while ago. One philosopher once said that every civilization is judged by how it treats and how it speaks to its most unfortunate members. And that's how we get judged. How we speak to the handicapped, to the hapless individuals, to the unfortunate, to the ones who don't have money, how we treat them. It's all, again, this is all an emphasis, and that's why this package deal at the end of the parak is koach hadibur. And that's why the closure is what? It might not be all about matzah isha matzah tov. It might not be about whether a person has the Torah, but one thing that it's going to come down to is relationships. Ish reyim hisra reya, based on Rashi, somebody who has friends and will be befriended. Latz lehisra reya, you will become a friend to them. K'mayim b'ponim l'ponim. You have good friends; they lean on you. You lean on them. V'yesh oiv davik me'ach. You will even have friends and loved ones who might even be mizdabik, who will be attached, who will cling to you, who will be connected to you, even closer to you than a brother. So even though we did mention that idea of sometimes we mentioned in Pasuk Yates and Perek Yudches, Ach Nivshem, that a brother will always be there for you. Yes, a brother might always be there for you, but we know that there could be a friend who in life, that's an Anais Tzora. But who can be closer to you? A friend can be closer than a sibling. Having good friends and relationships, that's how he sums it all up. In the end of the day, that you want to know how to go through life and how to know that you're going to have the Koach Hadibur, go out and find good friends. Good friends who can give you chizuk in difficult times. Good friends. Adam Shekonu Lo Reyim Rashi says, there will be days that you need them, and they'll bring you close. You can even have a friend with whom you can have a closer relationship than even your siblings. And at the end of the day, we all need friends, but certainly Shonim say that doesn't mean false friends, it doesn't mean to have a lot of friends, it doesn't mean Facebook friends, like that you have a lot of friends, it means the one or two or three close friends that you can always open up to, that could always be a friend, and you could be a friend for them, because it's not just on the receiving end, it's even more importantly on the giving end. That's why it's l'hisoreyos, so that you seal and solidify the relationship, that you're a great friend to them as they are to you. That relationship will get you places, and that will always keep you healthy. Emet Hashem, we should be zeichet to that. And we'll see you all next week, Emet Hashem, as we start Perek Yitzchak. Yes, have a wonderful day and a great week up ahead.
Could you address a single woman at home and a male shulich coming to the door? What is the problem?